Well, welcome everyone to our weekly sermon and time together. And I hope wherever you are comfortable. Boy, it's great to be together. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Now, as we begin, I do have one announcement that I want you all to be aware of. At this time of the year, it's when the annual report is made available to our church members and adherents only. And our annual meeting at the moment is scheduled for Thursday, January 28th at 7 p.m. here at the church. Now, this is a meeting for all church members. Adherents are welcome to join in. You just wouldn't have the ability to vote on anything. Now, this meeting may have to be rescheduled due to the restrictions that are going on. It could be done virtually, we're not sure, but we will let you know as we get closer to that date if that meeting has to be rescheduled. Now, this year, the annual report will be available, and it will be available as a PDF for members and adherents. And if you would like a PDF or a hard copy, you have to email your request. And you can email to this address, annualreport@campbellfordbaptist.org. Now, that email address is all lowercase. It's, again, annualreport@campbellfordbaptist.org. And please send that email by Sunday, January 17th, letting us know which you would prefer, a PDF copy or a hard copy. Now, if you are requesting a hard copy, only one per family, please. Also, please make sure that your name is included somewhere in your email so that we know who it is that's making this request. If you do not have email and would like a hard copy, contact Donna Fair. Now, please note that this email, annualreport@campbellfordbaptist.org, is for annual report inquiries only. Any other requests should go to the church email, which is info@campbellfordbaptist.org. So that's your only announcement for today. Please remember that. Again, by Sunday, January 17th, please let us know by email your request for an annual report, either a PDF file or a hard copy. Now, before we look into God's Word, let's take this moment to pray. Please join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. Lord, we thank you for your grace in our lives and your mercies, which are new every morning. And Lord, we lift up to you right now those who aren't well, those that are going through challenges at home or with their health. God, we just lift up to you Diane Reed. We lift up to you George Scott. Lord, we do pray in Jesus' name for their healing and that you would fill them, Lord, with your peace today. Lord, we also just want to pray for all those students that are struggling through the challenges of how to do school online and at home and wherever they are. So, God, we just do certainly pray for just that extra strength that you would just pour into their lives as they are adjusting to these challenges. And for our teachers as well that I'm sure have a lot on their plate. God, we look to you, God, because you are where our help comes from. We do pray for healing across this land and that this virus, Lord, will be, Lord, just wiped from this land completely. We thank you that you are all-powerful. But as we wait upon you, God, may we continue to keep our hearts focused on your word and on our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, so now we pray that you would speak to our hearts through your Holy Spirit as we open your word. We love you, Lord, and we praise you together in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. One cold February day, a snail started climbing an apple tree. And as this snail inched slowly upward, a worm stuck its head from a crevice in the bark to offer some advice. You're wasting your energy. There isn't a single apple up that tree. To which the snail replied, there will be when I get there. there will be when I get there. This snail, of course, expressing a determination to finish this journey, however long it would take. So just think about these words for a moment with me. Determination, driven, ambitious, focused. You know, who do you know that has these qualities? I know I really don't have those qualities when I look out and see that my driveway is full of snow. But maybe you do. But think about those qualities, and when are they part of your life? Or who do you think of when you think of those qualities? Again, being driven and ambitious, determined, focused. Now, I think the men and women who prepare for the Winter or Summer Olympics definitely fit this category of people. They are definitely determined individuals. They practice and they train for this event for years. It is said that they spend 4 to 8 years in training, preparing their body, preparing their minds for an event, to compete in an event. And of course, their goal is to compete for a gold medal, to finish first at the finish line. Now, during the 1992 Summer Olympics in Spain, British runner Derek Redmond tore a hamstring during the 400-meter final. It was a tragedy. He fell hard to the track, and many thought that this was it for Derek, but he didn't stay down. As people watched from the stands, he struggled to get up, but he got up on his feet, and he began to hobble. He began to hobble towards the finish line. He was determined to complete this race. And you know what? He did. In excruciating pain. He finished last, but he completed the race in pain. Talk about great effort. Talk about determination. Someone who is determined to finish what they had started and had trained for so many years. So what areas of your life could someone say that you show determination, ambition, focus? Today I'd like to begin a sermon series from the book of 2 Peter. So if you have your Bible close by, please turn to it. I'll give you a moment to get your Bibles out, to perhaps refill a coffee cup wherever you're sitting, or a teacup. But let's turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. It falls right after 1 Peter and before 1 John. And I want to begin by reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Let's begin. Let us hear the word of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. I don't want to confuse you. Sorry, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That ends chapter 2. That ends verse 2. And I want to stop right there to begin with so that we can learn a little bit more about who writes this letter and who he's writing to. So let's look at some of the background information on this book. Well, this book was written by the Apostle Peter. We see that in chapter 1, verse 1. It makes it clear there. And Peter was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And it was several years earlier that Jesus had walked up to Peter as he's fishing by the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus says, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Well, Peter, after dropping his nets and following Jesus, was never the same again. And so here he writes this letter, and he's writing to believers in general. He's not writing to any specific recipient. It's not like Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, from which we get the book of Ephesians. And in his opening remarks, Peter addresses it to those who have received a faith as precious as ours. So just look back to your passage there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, where he says, to those through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. And so here Peter is describing our faith, the Christian faith, as centered on our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Faith is a gift from God. And when we ask Him by faith into our hearts and repent of our sins, God showers us with His unconditional love and devotion. And of course, of our God, because of His nature, that He is loving and forgiving, that He is God who is faithful to His promises, He does not leave us when we struggle. In fact, when we become believers in Jesus Christ, we are a new creation in Him, and each day, God is with us in our struggles, and He is with us in our desire to grow closer to Him. But we have to remember something, especially in the time that we're living in now. We have to keep our faith, especially when adversity comes. And one of the main central themes of 2 Peter is Peter encouraging them to keep their faith, to guard it, to build it, not to drift from it. We have to keep our faith in our hard times. And really, living by faith is about daily trusting, choosing to trust in God and choose His way over our own. So this letter is written to the believers in Jesus Christ who share this very precious faith that is centered on God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Peter knows that they are struggling. They are going through a time of persecution. And so Peter wants to continually remind believers to keep that faith and that they need to understand again that even though when we're surrounded by adversity or when we're being tempted by the world or when there's false teachers trying to deceive us, we have to remember this, that this world is not our home and that we are only passing through towards our ultimate reward, and that reward is heaven. Being in the presence of Almighty God for all eternity. Until then, however, we have to be on guard and keep building our faith on the Word of God. Keeping the Word of God is key to our faith. So as you will see in this chapter, one theme that stands out is this: striving for spiritual maturity. And striving for spiritual maturity is not an option in the Christian life. We are called to grow and keep growing and maturing in our faith daily. Now let me read to you the rest of this passage. So let me keep reading. 2 Peter chapter 1, now verses 3 to 11. Peter continues, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and he has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now let's back up and look at verse 3. In verses 3 to 4. In verses 3 to 4, Peter begins by reminding us that God gives us everything that we need to grow. And I'm so glad that Peter doesn't begin with something that we need to do. Instead, Peter begins with what God has already done for us. Peter gives the wonderful promise that God gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. Just take a moment to dwell on what this promise means and what Peter says in this verse. as believers, we have everything required for life and goodness. As it says, His divine power has given us everything. Everything. And what does that mean? Well, it means that nothing is lacking. So let's break this down a little bit, these first few words of verse 3. It begins, His divine power. And what kind of power is Peter referring to? Well, what kind of power gives us what we need? Now, I don't know about you, but I'm always running into people, especially my own kids, who run out of power. Have you heard this yet? Where's the power cord? My battery's low. I'm low on power. And they're running around trying to find that cord, that power device. I often find it interesting as well, when it's time to do a chore, or let's say, let's go back to shoveling the driveway. It's almost like as soon as the kids are, you know, at least in my home, they get on their winter gear. And by the time they get all their winter gear on, they're somehow tired and they've run out of power and they don't, you know, they can maybe do a few little shovels and then that's it. Or how about this example? I called you. Why didn't you pick up your phone? My battery ran out. It was dead. How about this example? When we set out to accomplish a bunch of things, we have that list of items we want to get done in the day. But before we can get through that list, or maybe we get down to one or two items of 10, and we find ourselves weak, depleted, tired, and then we have to save the rest of what we had planned for another day. You know, there are examples, a few, that you might be able to relate to, where we have this loss of power, loss of strength. But this isn't the power that Peter is talking about. He's not talking about our puny power. He's referring to the power of Jesus Christ, the power of God, our source of power for living now until heaven. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. And to daily experience God's power in your life, we must continually be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter says that we have a limitless power supply available to us. That's why he starts by saying His divine power. He shoots us straight up to God. Look to God. Focus your thoughts on God. This is where our power comes from. We have access to this power. It's available to us. It's a power that never runs out. A limitless power from heaven is available to you and me each and every day. I don't know about you, but that I find it very encouraging because in this life, man, it gets us down. It gets us feeling very powerless. But praise God, God's power is available to us to help us grow, to help us to be more like Christ, to help us be the godly parents and husband or wife or grandparents that God has called us to be. So Peter says that we have a limitless power supply available to us. He goes on to say His divine power has given us. And what has God's power given us? And again, it's granted to us as we come to God with our need. And as we come to Him in faith, He gives us this power. And it gives us, as He says, everything we need. And that's pretty amazing. How much of what we need does God give us? Well, everything. Does God say, I'll give you 80%, but then the rest of it is up to you? No. Peter says that God gives us all things. God doesn't hold back. There is nothing we need that God doesn't give to us. He gives us absolutely everything we need for life and godliness. So again, His divine power has given us, has given you and me, everything that we need. And then he goes on to kind of describe what that is for life and godliness. And I love how comprehensive this is. I think those two words cover everything. There is nothing in your life that those two words do not cover. When you think of your life, when you think of godliness, God gives us everything that we need for every part of our earthly lives. And He also gives us everything we need to grow in our love for Him and in our holiness. So this promise is a promise that I pray will give you great assurance today. Great blessed assurance that if you're right now thinking that there's a whole bunch of things that you don't have, that you're struggling, that you have needs up to here, well, step back and look at these words again and personalize them and thank God that His divine power has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. So whatever that area of need is right now, first of all, have you given that over to God? Have you talked to God about that? Have you come to Him in faith and saying, God, I need you right now? That is the only qualification for God's power in your life, admitting that He is all-powerful, you're not, you have a need, and allow Him to fill you with His power so that you can get through that need and that issue. The very power of the one true God has made this kind of life possible for believers in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for that promise. But you might be wondering, how is this possible? How is this possible? Well, let's read on. In verse 3, again, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. How is it possible? Peter says, through our knowledge of Him who called us. And that is the knowledge Peter mentions back in verse 2. It means to know Jesus as your Savior in a saving way. It is that knowledge within you that need that you had for Jesus. And then when Jesus entered into your life and saved you, you have this deep love and devotion for Jesus now because of this knowledge, this saving knowledge that only Jesus saves, that only He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come to the Father except through Him. And so when you focus now on making, with this knowledge of Jesus as your Savior, when you focus on making Jesus the priority of your life, making sure you're in relationship with Him, relying on Him, getting to know Him better, then He will unleash His power from heaven in your life, and you will grow in your faith. Now, the key to growth, the key to, again, striving for spiritual maturity and knowing God begins with God. When we know Him, He gives us everything that we need to grow. And Peter gives us another answer on how we can grow in our faith, build our faith, and grow in our spiritual maturity. We take small steps. And let's look at verses 5 to 11. Well, let's start with verses 5 to 7, because here we learn what small steps that we need to take to grow in this knowledge of Him who called us. He goes on to say, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Okay, so that's verses 5 to 7. Peter gives us a series of steps, a list of virtues, qualities that we need to take if we're going to grow. And it's going to take effort. Not just effort, but great effort, Peter says. But with God's help, we can take these steps. And again, what are they? Well, Peter says that we're to add to our Christian faith. And he lists these 8 qualities, these 8 virtues that will be true of us as we grow, as we take those determined, focused steps in our walk with the Lord. What's the first virtue? He says, faith. He begins with faith. What is faith? Again, faith is trusting in God. Faith is where it all begins. This is where all the other virtues come from. We live by faith, not by sight. And then from faith, we are to add to that goodness. And goodness is this moral excellence, which means that we change from the inside out. And that change happens as we grow closer to God. And to goodness, add knowledge. And that knowledge is our growth and understanding as we read God's word, as we spend time meditating on His word. As we spend time in nature, how God reveals Himself to us. He does it through people and nature and through His word. This is how we grow in our knowledge of God. And to knowledge, self-control. And this is the ability to restrain ourselves from sinful desires. We all need self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And perseverance is staying faithful, not just for a short time, but staying faithful to God over the long haul. But he doesn't end there with this list. The next step, what else to add to our faith? Godliness, which is living a godly life. And this is what God has called every believer to living a life of godliness. And to godliness add brotherly kindness, which really ties in closely to that last virtue. Brotherly kindness is looking out for one another. This kindness, you know, God shows us and gives to us his acts of kindness daily, that we may in turn receive and be a blessing to those around us with God's kindness in us. And lastly, love. Add to brotherly kindness love, the virtue that sums up all other virtues. When I looked at this list, I couldn't help but think of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And of these three forever gifts, what is the greatest? Love. And look at this list that Peter gives to us. It begins with what? Faith. And how does it end? With love. Love is greater than faith. Love is greater than hope, in that both faith and hope depend on love for their existence. Without love, there can be no true faith. A loveless faith. Think about that. A loveless faith is nothing but an empty religious exercise. It all comes back to God's love for you and for me. Now, Peter tells us to take these steps to add this list of virtues to our faith. Make every effort to do that. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, Peter goes on to say, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's in verse 8. Again, look at what verse 8 says. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, so keep on adding and adding, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Now, those two words, ineffective and unproductive, they're not words that, I don't know about you, but I would not want those two words to be used to describe my walk with the Lord or what I'm doing with the knowledge that God has given me of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ineffective, unfruitful. And for those of you in the sporting world, whether it's hockey or football or baseball, even curling, if you're not being productive, if you're not being effective playing that sport, helping the team win, guess what? The coach isn't going to play you. You're not going to get that playing time. So these two words are quite serious, and in fact, they're warnings. Because it is possible even for a Christian to be fully equipped for a meaningful life of Christ-like goodness and yet to squander that opportunity, to not use that knowledge of Christ and our calling as Christians to serve in his kingdom, to help advance the kingdom of God on earth. It is possible instead to choose to be ineffective and unproductive with that precious gift. And this is a sobering thought. This is a sobering thought. And Peter is aware that there were those in the church that, whether it was because of the persecution, whether it's because of false teachers, they were coming in and causing struggles, and challenging Christians in their faith. And there were Christians that were stepping back and not doing anything, being ineffective and unfruitful. So it's a sobering thought. And this would be something like realizing that you've had a superpower all along and you never used it. You wasted it. And it would be disastrous to leave that ability unused, that gift unused, pursuing the world, pursuing convenience, pursuing comfort and self because they were easier. Now, how can a Christian avoid being ineffective and unfruitful for God? Well, Peter says that seeking the qualities that he just listed in the previous verses and to have them growing in us is the way to be effective and productive as people who know the Lord and want the world to know that our Savior lives, that he is here to help and rescue us in our sin and in our adversity. Now, I would encourage you today, as Peter encourages us in this letter, take steps, make great effort, take every effort to take steps to grow in your knowledge of God's grace and love. Work at things like becoming godly and knowing God more and loving others. Look at verses 10 to 11 with me now. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager. There's that same type of tone where he says earlier, make every effort or be all the more eager. You can see that Peter is really trying to encourage and remind these believers in the church to be determined in their faith. Be focused in your faith. Make every effort, take every step to keep growing in your faith. Be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will reach, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have put your wholehearted faith in Jesus Christ today to save you, you have the assurance of a future with Him in heaven. Praise God for that promise. That might cause you now to sit back and relax, thinking that the rest of life is just a vacation. Yet that's not what the Bible teaches. In Philippians 2, verse 12, Peter said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And in 2 Peter here, in chapter 1, verse 8, the call is to add godly character qualities to our lives. And to do that, we have to make every great effort, every effort to do that. Again, are we preparing for the time when we will be with our Lord? That's what we do as we grow in our faith. Coasting is not an option. Striving towards spiritual maturity is not an option in the Christian life. So let's prepare ourselves for service here on earth and for eternity with God in heaven. Now, at the beginning of this message, I told you about Derek Redmond and his painful ending to the 400-meter race during the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. But I did not tell you how the rest of that story ended. I did leave something out. You see, while Derek limped to the finish line, suddenly a man broke through security and ran onto the track. It was Derek Redmond's father. Derek heard a familiar voice and recognized this helper. He buried his face in his father's chest and sobbed. And Jim Redmond, his father, told his son that, you know, he was loved and that he didn't have to finish this race. But Derek set his eyes towards the finish line and simply said, yes, I do. His father replied, then we will finish it together. You see, Derek refused to let adversity keep him from the prize of finishing the race, just finishing. And this is such a beautiful image of how our earthly race often looks. And I suspect that many who achieve heavenly standing ovations will finish with a limp and with eyes focused solely on Jesus, our Savior. And just like Derek's caring father, we too have a Father in heaven who is full of love, who is full of compassion for His children at every stage in their lives. And He is there to pick us up when we fall. He is there to pick us up when we fall and guide us when we don't know which path to take. And if needed, carry us all the way to our final destination through His endless grace, power, and mercy. Friends, as Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2 says, let us run. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Run the race of faith and run it with making every great effort, persevering to the end, following the example of those who have gone before us. It does take all of our spiritual endurance to complete it, but we don't run the course alone. Christ Himself helps us towards the finish line. Therefore, let us lay aside every weight, every sin that entangles, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before Him. Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a blessed assurance. A blessed assurance that no one or nothing can take away. So I encourage you today to cherish Christ in your heart. You know, this week, There was a hymn that I had on my mind going through this passage. And I always think it's great to respond to God's word with a hymn. So I want to just close with this hymn. You can sing it with me wherever you are. It's a hymn by Fanny Crosby, and it's titled Blessed Assurance. So I'm just going to do verse 1 and verse 3, but I'm sure many of you know the chorus off by heart. So let me just get ready here. And so as we close, let us take this moment with our voices to thank God for his word. Blessed assurance. I love the words. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Let's sing this together. Blessed assurance, and Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in the Savior and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. Sing it. And this is my story, this is my song. Here we go. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for this blessed assurance that we have in Jesus Christ, our Savior. God, we are watching and we are waiting. We are looking above. We are thanking you, Lord, for your goodness and for your unfailing love in our lives every day. Lord, help us to make every great effort to keep adding to our faith and growing closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.